And now, here is Winfred Claiborne.
Thank you very much. The Corinthian Christians were often arrogant because of the great spiritual gifts they had received. Paul asked them, "Who makes you to differ from another? What do you have that you did not receive? Now if you received it, why do you glory as if you did not receive it?" 1 Corinthians 4:7. The Corinthians had no reason to be proud, since all the supernatural gifts were just that, supernatural gifts. They had done nothing to merit those gifts. Paul accused them of reigning as kings. He then outlined what he and the other apostles had to endure for the cause of Christ. "For I think that God has set forth us the apostles last, as it were appointed to death. For we are made a spectacle unto the world, and to angels, and to men." 1 Corinthians 4:9. It ought to be obvious from Paul's teaching in this verse that the so-called prosperity gospel never entered into Paul's thinking. The apostles regularly faced death, and not financial prosperity, for preaching that Jesus was the Son of God. Paul affirmed that he and the other apostles were made a spectacle unto the world, and to angels, and to men. The word spectacle is a translation of the Greek theatron, from which we derive our word theater. In his scholarly set of books, Word Pictures in the New Testament, Dr. A.T. Robertson writes concerning Paul's use of the word theatron. The word, like our theater, means the place of show, Acts 19:29 and 31. Then it means the spectacle shown there, Volume 4, page 107. Dr. F.W. Grosheider's commentary on the first epistle to the Corinthians appropriately says, "The apostles are made a spectacle, because everybody looked at them, since there is something peculiar about them." This refers to the custom of antiquity, in which many people delighted in the suffering of slaves, criminals, and conquered people. Page 107. We use the word spectacle in the same way. We may say concerning a politician who has behaved foolishly, "He made a spectacle of himself," by which we most often mean, "He made a fool of himself." I did not arbitrarily choose the word fool. Paul used that word of himself and his fellow gospel preachers. Please listen to Paul. "We are fools for Christ's sake, but you are wise in Christ. We are weak, but you are strong. You are honorable, but we are despised." 1 Corinthians 4:10. Paul did not believe he and his fellow workers in the Lord's vineyard were fools. But that is how the world thought of them in the first century, and the way many secular people in our day think of devoutly religious people. Paul was weak and despised from a worldly viewpoint, and even weak in the eyes of worldly church members. But in God's sight, he was one of the greatest missionaries and preachers who ever lived. As you can understand from this passage, what the world thinks of God's people and what God thinks of them are entirely different. Whose judgment should we trust in such matters? The infinite and infallible God, or finite and fallible men? Paul outlined what he had to endure for the cause of Christ. "For unto this present hour we both hunger and thirst, and are naked, and are buffeted, and have no certain dwelling place." 1 Corinthians 4:11. Paul not only had suffered deprivation in the past, he was experiencing it when he wrote 1 Corinthians. He knew firsthand hunger and thirst. There were times in his ministry for the Lord when he did not go hungry or thirsty, but there were other times when he did. He explained that fact to the Philippians. "Not that I speak in respect to want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am, therewith to be content. I know how to be abased, and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things, I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need." Philippians 4, 11 and 12. But hunger and thirst did not prevent Paul from doing his work as a preacher and as an apostle. By his use of the word naked, Paul did not mean he had no clothing at all. The Greek word does not mean without clothing. It means scant clothing or inadequate clothing. There were unquestionably times in his life as a Christian when Paul did not have enough clothing to keep him warm. When he was in a Roman prison, he instructed Timothy, "The cloak that I left at Troas, when you come, bring with you, and the books, but especially the parchments." 2 Timothy 4:13. Do you get the impression from watching any of the preachers on Trinity Broadcasting Network that they have a lack of warm clothing? Joyce Meyer's $10 million jet airplane, her husband's $107,000 Mercedes-Benz, her $2 million home and her children's $2 million homes are a far cry from Paul's abject poverty. Is it possible Paul was not a faithful preacher? Maybe he did not embrace the so-called health and wealth gospel. The truth is very simple. Paul did not bleed his listeners into making him a wealthy man. Paul says he was buffeted for the cause of Christ. The Greek word kalathizo comes from the word kalaphos, meaning fist. The Greek verb means to strike a blow with the fist. Does that mean the enemies of the cross actually attacked Paul physically? He later explained to the same church, "Are they ministers of Christ? I speak as a fool, I am more. In labors more abundant, in stripes above measure, in prisons more frequent, in deaths often. Of the Jews, 5 times I received 40 stripes, save one. 3 times I was beaten with rods. 1 I was stoned. 3 I suffered shipwreck. A night and a day have I been in the deep. In journeyings often. In perils of waters. In perils of robbers. In perils of my own countrymen. In perils of the heathen. In perils in the city. In perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils among false brethren, in weariness and painfulness, in watchings often, in hunger and thirst, in fastings often, in cold and nakedness." 2 Corinthians 11:23 through 27. Have you ever heard of any of the prosperity preachers read and discuss that passage? How can they harmonize these words with their view that God wants all of His children to be healthy and wealthy? In the passage from 2 Corinthians 11, Paul mentions the fact that he had been stoned 1 time. Luke tells us exactly what happened on that occasion. "And there came certain Jews from Antioch in Iconium, who persuaded the people, and having stoned Paul, drew him out of the city, supposing he had been dead." Acts 14:19. And what was Paul's grievous sin that led to his stoning? Had he murdered someone or stolen money? He had healed a crippled man. Acts 14:8 through 10. It does not appear that Paul's healing a lame man who had never walked and faithfully proclaiming the gospel of Christ had made him financially prosperous. Or maybe the promise of prosperity applied to everyone except the apostles. They certainly were not wealthy. In addition, tradition says that all of them except the Apostle John died violently at the hands of God's enemies. In his second letter to Timothy, Paul wrote of persecutions, afflictions, which came unto me at Antioch and Iconium and Lystra. "What persecutions I endured, but out of them all the Lord delivered me. Yea, and all who live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution." 2 Timothy 3:11 and 12. Could those persecutions Paul predicted for God's faithful children include not having enough to eat or to wear, or being deprived of liberty and of even life? Paul reminded the Thessalonians, "For yourselves, brethren, know our entrance unto you, that it was not in vain. But even after that we had suffered before and were shamefully entreated, as you know, at Philippi, we were bold in our God to speak unto you the gospel of God with much contention." 1 Thessalonians 2:1 and 2. Harmonizing these words with the prosperity gospel would require a great amount of twisting the divine record. And that is exactly what the prosperity gospel preachers do. could they be twisting the Scriptures to their own destruction? 2 Peter 3:16. Does being healthy and wealthy take precedence over preaching the whole counsel of God? In order for Paul to pay his own living expenses and to help support the men who worked with him in the proclamation of the gospel, he had to labor, working with his own hands, 1 Corinthians 4:12. The word labor, kapiao in the Greek, means to work to the point of exhaustion. We know Paul worked with his own hands. While he was doing mission work at Corinth, he stayed with Aquila and Priscilla because they were of the same craft. That is, they were tent makers. Acts 18, 1-3. The tents were made of leather, so the work was very difficult. Paul explained to the Ephesian elders, I have coveted no man's silver, or gold, or apparel. Yes, you yourselves know that these hands have ministered unto my necessities, and to them who are with me. I have shown you all things, how that so laboring you ought to support the weak, and to remember the words of the Lord Jesus, how he said, It is more blessed to give than to receive. Acts 20:33-35. If Paul had had access to national television, as the prosperity preachers do, he would not have had to work so hard for himself and for others. He could simply have said, Send me $100, and you will receive $1,000 in return. Or, send me $1,000, and you will receive $100,000 as a result of the seed faith you planted. Such promises are without scriptural support, and an insult to God and to the hearers. The Birmingham News, September 26, 2004, provides an example of how badly some people have been hurt by the ridiculous promises of the prosperity preachers. A retired and disabled veteran of the Vietnam War was deceived into believing he would be financially blessed if he sent money to some of the TBN preachers. He donated $6,000 from his disability benefits. He did not receive any of the benefits he had been promised. Then he learned that TBN had purchased a Newport mansion overlooking the Pacific Ocean. He requested that TBN return his money. He said, I want to recoup my hard-earned money that I sent to these despicable people. Paul Crouch Jr., who works with TBN, says the critics overlook the great work the network does by bringing the Word of God to millions of people around the world. He thinks it is unfortunate that the prosperity gospel is a lightning rod for the body of Christ. It's not what drives TBN. Page 12a. There are some very serious problems with Paul Crouch Jr.'s statements from the Birmingham News. The performers on those programs, including Paul Crouch Jr.'s own father, Benny Hinn, Kenneth Copeland, Gloria Copeland, and many others, continually stress the financial rewards of contributing to their ministries. They know they are not being honest with their hearers. They know that hundreds of thousands of people give to the program and receive no financial benefits from their giving. In the words of Paul Crouch Jr., many critics may overlook the fact that the network has used viewers' contributions to bring God's Word to millions of people. But that is not the point of their ministries. They constantly promise financial prosperity, but they are not delivering on their promises, and they know they are not delivering. Imagine what would happen to a bank or to an insurance company that promised 1,000% return on your investments. Law enforcement officers would haul them into jail when they failed, and they would fail 100% of the time. No investment firm would make such ridiculous promises. Religious groups can violate the scriptures, ruin families by baseless assurances of financial prosperity, and not be held accountable for their unscrupulous practices. Should we not hold churches and other religious groups to a higher standard than we would any other organizations? Could the actions of groups like TBN be responsible for the unbelief that characterizes so many Americans? We have hundreds of individuals and churches that regularly contribute to the International Gospel Hour. We make the following promises to those gracious contributors. We promise to preach the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. We also promise that we shall preach the gospel in love. If we did not believe our contributors and our listeners would prosper from our programs, we would not be on the air. The Apostle John wrote, "Beloved, I wish above all things that you might prosper and be in good health, even as your soul prospers." 3 John 2. If John had in mind financial prosperity, his prayer was not answered in hundreds of thousands of instances in the first century and in subsequent centuries. In fact, his prayer failed for the Apostle Paul, as we learn from reading 1 Corinthians 4 and other passages. Paul Crouch Jr. says, "It is unfortunate that the prosperity gospel is a lightning rod for the body of Christ. It is not what drives TBN. You could have fooled me. The owners of the network and many of the preachers on the network have made the prosperity gospel a lightning rod. They are the ones who stress on virtually every program the financial prosperity the contributors to the network will enjoy. The critics of the health and wealth gospel, including your speaker, are not the ones who invented the idea. We are simply responding to teaching that brings shame and reproach on the name of Christ. Millions may be permanently turned off to the cause of Christ by such outlandish preaching." Incidentally, many of TBN's severest critics are Pentecostal preachers. D.R. McConnell, a graduate of Oral Roberts University in Tulsa, Oklahoma, wrote an excellent book with the title, A Different Gospel. The book claims to provide a bold and revealing look at the biblical and historical basis of the Word of Faith movement. That quotation is from the front cover of the book. The book includes a critique of the prosperity gospel by Dr. Gordon Fee, a highly respected Pentecostal scholar. Please listen to Dr. Fee's assessment of the prosperity gospel. "American Christianity is rapidly being infected by an insidious disease, the so-called wealth and health gospel, although it has very little of the character of the gospel in it. In its most brazen forms, it simply says, 'Serve God and get rich.' In its more respectable but pernicious forms, it builds $15 million crystal cathedrals to the glory of affluent suburban Christianity." Page 169. McConnell quotes Kenneth Hagin, one of the leading gurus in the health and wealth gospel movement, as saying that God wants to deliver His people from poverty. He wants His children to eat the best. He wants them to wear the best clothing. He wants them to drive the best cars. And He wants them to have the best of everything. Fred Price, another of the prosperity seekers, says the king's kids ought to drive Rolls Royces. Page 174. From what the prosperity gospel preachers teach, do you get the impression that the great Apostle Paul was a second-class, or perhaps a third-class citizen in the kingdom of heaven? There is no evidence that Paul prospered financially, or that his health was always perfect. He had to work with his own hands to keep the wolf away from the door. When the enemies of Christianity reviled him, he blessed them. When they persecuted him for the name of Christ, he endured it for the gospel's sake. 1 Corinthians 4:12. Where did Paul learn to bless those who reviled him and to endure persecutions? Peter wrote concerning our Lord's example, "For even hereunto were you called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that you should follow his steps, who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth. Who, when he was reviled, he reviled not again. When he suffered, he threatened not, but committed himself to him who judges righteously." 1 Peter 2, 21-23. Paul was often accused of heinous crimes against the Jewish people and against humanity in general. He was defamed, but he entreated God for his persecutors. Now please listen to Paul's very disturbing words. "We are made as the filth of the world, and as the offscouring of all things unto this day." 1 Corinthians 4:13. "Except for the influence of our Lord Jesus Christ, The Apostle Paul's influence has almost unquestionably been the most beneficial to mankind of any of God's servants in the history of humanity. How could anyone be so evil as to treat him as the filth of the world? Dr. A.T. Robertson's set of books, Word Pictures in the New Testament, says the word filth refers to sweepings, rinsings, cleansings around dust from the floor. He says the word offscouring means the scraping off of refuse. Volume 4, page 109. When you're criticized for your devotion to the cause of Christ, when you are called a fool or a moron for your faith, you are in good company. Christ's enemies accused him of being demon-possessed. Neither Christ nor Paul would have fit in with the so-called prosperity gospel movement. In the words of D.R. McConnell, the prosperity gospel is a different gospel. Preaching a different gospel will bring the curses of God on the heads of those who do it. Galatians 1, 8 and 9. Thank you for listening today, and may God continue to bless and keep you.